Deacon chirped. I'm one of the guys who kidnapped you. My eyes widened as I looked at him. He just shrugged. Not you, came the response. The other guy. His name is Gable. No, he's not here, I answered, wondering where he was since I hadn't seen him yet. Do you want to talk to him? There was another gap of silence. No. Josie is the daughter of Apollo, Deacon said from where he'd positioned himself on the other side of the door. But she doesn't have any cool abilities like you do. I flipped Deacon off. I don't have any abilities, the girl shouted. That's not what I hear. Closing my eyes, I tilted my head against the wall. I hear you can bring dead plants back to life. That's really cool.
And also something that mortals can't do, Deacon pointed out. But we've already had this conversation.
Deacon is right, though. I don't have any special talents, I said. And Deacon snorted. I ignored him. Well, I can control the elements, but that's like nothing. A couple of moments passed.
You said your name is Josie, right?
The voice was closer to the door. Yes.
Gable mentioned you. He said you'd been taken by freaking titans.
I was. I got free. I was lucky, but some like us weren't as lucky. I know you don't feel this way now, but you should know how lucky you are that Deacon and Luke got to you first. If you've seen what I've seen, you wouldn't doubt that for a second. Opening my eyes, I found Deacon staring at me. Nothing they've told you is a lie. The Titans were looking for you, and if they found you, you would...
Would what? She asked.
Lowering my gaze to the floor, I said. You'd wish you were dead. About a minute went by, and I was afraid she was going to ignore us.
I couldn't always bring plants back to life.
Deacon pushed off the wall, his face sparking with interest. I was guessing this was new info.
You couldn't? No. It started a couple of weeks ago. I found out by accident. I knocked over an old flower that I had in a vase, and when I picked it up, the damn thing came to life, Cora said, and then she laughed. At first, I just kind of ignored it, because come on. Then I did it again a day later. I reached down to pluck up a dead dandelion, and those little white wispy things came right back to life.
Another brittle-sounding laugh emerged.
I feel like I'm going crazy.
I had no idea why that ability had started to show recently.
You're not. That's not all. It's not?
Eagerness filled Deacon's voice.
I can tell things. Like when someone is sick, they have this grayish glow to them like an aura. I thought I was having vision problems, she said.
And the more she talked, I had to wonder how she thought she was a normal mortal.
And I know when women are freaking pregnant. At least, I think I can. And by the way, that got me fired.
I blinked slowly.
Do tell, Deacon murmured, eyes glittering with interest. So I was working at the indie bookstore, and my manager came into work one morning, late as usual, with her husband. And when I looked at her stomach, I could see this little ball of light that, for some reason, in my head, was shaped like a baby. A freaking fist-sized ball of light shaped like a baby.
Deacon and I exchanged looks.
So what else would I do? I blurted out that she was pregnant, Cora continued from on the other side of the door. Little did I know, her and her husband had hit a major dry spell, and if she was pregnant, it couldn't have been her husband's.
Oh my, I said.
Yeah, oh my. So she fired me that afternoon.
There was a thump from the other side of the door that I really hoped wasn't her head.
Of course, I've learned to not just blurt out random hallucinations real quickly.
Deacon grinned.
Smart move, but it probably wasn't a hallucination.
Cora's sigh was audible through the door.
This is real, and you guys aren't going away, are you?
This is real, and we really don't want to leave you, I said, pushing off the wall. You have to be hungry, right? We can get food and answer all the questions you have. There was no immediate response, but then I saw the doorknob starting to turn. Stepping back, I crossed my arms over my stomach. I had this nearly overwhelming urge to run away before the door opened. If she could see a baby in a belly... Okay, I was being stupid. I was not pregnant. Uncrossing my arms,
I hoped the smile that I fixed on my face wasn't as creepy as the one Deacon was rocking. The door cracked open slowly, and then I saw the girl that Deacon and Luke had technically kidnapped. She was about my height and was absolutely stunning. Raven-colored hair hung in tight, springy curls all the way to her breasts. Her skin was a deep, warm brown that was a startling contrast to eyes so pale they were somewhere between gray and blue. "Hi," I said, giving her a little wave. Cora turned from Deacon and looked at me strangely, her light gaze dropping to my stomach. Her brows shot up, and then she squeezed her eyes shut as she pinched the bridge of her nose. "I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy." I stood as still as a cat in front of a hellhound. Glancing over at Deacon, it didn't appear that he'd noticed anything weird, but I was seconds away from freaking out. Okay, that was more than just a little weird. Cora moved aside, holding the door open for us. I forced a smile as I stepped inside the dorm room, hiding the fact that I wanted to find the nearest corner and start rocking in it. She either saw that I was sick, sick from the bands, or she saw something else, something that looked like a baby-shaped ball of light.
"We have a lot to talk about," Deacon said, closing the door behind us.
Cora glanced nervously between us, and I made sure the smile was still planted on my face. "We do. And as soon as we get done there, I needed to find Alex." About an hour later, I walked out of Cora's room and headed toward the lobby. Deacon was still with her, and she'd calmed down a lot, but was still understandably mind-blown by everything. My stomach had settled, and I no longer felt like I was about to spew vomit everywhere, but there were tiny coils of tension deep in my belly for a whole different reason. I knew I was probably dumb, but I needed to take a pregnancy test just to set my mind at ease. The last thing I wanted to do was share the fact that I was most likely overreacting like a mofo, but I had no idea where I could get a test. I doubted they carried them in the university bookstore. Or maybe they did. Then again, I remembered hearing that many of the students were given birth control shots. That was something I probably should have looked into. Anxious and jittery, I hurried through the common area. A few of the halves looked in my direction, but no one really paid me any mind as I pushed open the doors and spied Alex. She was leaning against one of the columns, talking to Luke and a dark-haired half-blood I had sort of gotten to know before we'd gone to retrieve the other demigods.
"Hey!"
Colin turned with a smile, his blue eyes as bright as I remembered.
"Holy crap! I was wondering if I was ever going to see you again."
"Hi." I gave him a little wave. "How have you been?" Colin gave me a quick one-armed hug.
"Perfect. I hear things have been a little crazy for you guys."
"Understatement of the year," Alex chimed in, and I wondered if she knew that Colin totally idolized her and Aiden.
"Yeah, that's the truth," I commented. "Glad to see you're doing okay."
He glanced at Luke.
"I heard things got a little rough."
Pressing my lips together, I nodded as I forced my arms across my chest. "I'm doing good."
"How did things go with Cora?" Luke asked, stepping around Colin.
"She finally opened the door and let us in. She's starting to come around. I mean, she believes us now," I told him. "But I think we need to proceed with baby steps so we don't overwhelm her."
"Baby steps?"
Colin's dark brows lifted.
"And you left her in there with Deacon? He's probably lighting things on fire for her." "Shit, you're so right," Luke sighed. "I better go check on them."
Before Alex followed Luke, I tapped her arm. "Can I talk with you for a moment?"
"Sure."
She pushed away from the column as she brushed her long ponytail off her shoulder. "Sorry," I said to Colin, feeling bad that I'd busted in on the conversation. "I didn't mean to interrupt or steal her."
"Nah, it's cool. I was going to try to follow Luke, like to meet another demigod," he said, grinning. "It's like you guys are popping up everywhere now."
"Tell me about it," Luke said, motioning Colin to follow him. "Let's go make sure Deacon hasn't traumatized Cora."
"More than you all did when you kidnapped her?"
Colin clapped a hand down on my shoulder as he passed me by.
"Look, it wasn't really kidnapping," Luke opened the door. "It was more like witness relocation against her will. Totally different."
Their conversation was cut off as the door closed behind them. Alex raised her brows.
How much do you want to bet they'll have that girl rocking in a corner somewhere? Or marathoning supernatural? There's no in-between. Alex laughed. True. Her eyes squinted as she looked up at the fading sun. So what did you need to talk to me about? Concern briefly flickered across her face. You haven't heard from Seth? No, nothing like that. My stomach dipped as I glanced at the doors. Can we walk and talk? Sure. Curiosity now filled her gaze. I kept my arms crossed as we walked off the wide steps and started along the incredibly impressive marble walkway. The amount of money they had to have spent just to lay the pathways on the campus could probably have fed a small country. Several knots had formed in my belly. I couldn't believe I was actually going to have to say these words, especially to someone who had more than once made out with a guy who could possibly be my baby's daddy. Granted, I'd moved way past having a problem with that, but still, awkward. I just didn't know who else to go to. Josie? Her quiet voice snapped me out of my thoughts. You're starting to worry me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. It's just that... I took a deep breath and pulled my big girl undies up. Do you know where I could get a pregnancy test? Alex tripped over her own feet. Throwing out a hand, she caught my arm before she went face first into the pathway. Her wide-eyed gaze swung in my direction as she straightened. Wait, what? Cheeks burning a thousand shades of red, I glanced around. No one was near us. I think I might be pregnant. Her lips parted, forming a complete circle. Several seconds passed while she looked like a fish out of water. I started to get super uncomfortable. Alex seemed to recover, blinking once and then twice. I'm sorry, that just totally caught me off guard. Was not expecting that. You and me both. Lifting a hand, I pushed the hair out of my face. I mean, we used protection except for that one time, and I don't know if I'm just being crazy or what. Alex faced me. I'm assuming you have real reasons to suspect the whole pregnancy thing. I nodded, deciding I really didn't want to get into the whole Cora thing. I just need to know if I am or not. Do you know if there is any way to get one here? You'd have to go to the infirmary to get one. I cringed. Seriously? Yeah. A look of sympathy crossed her face. They don't sell the tests in the stores here because they like to keep track of who's getting pregnant. Completely barbaric and an embarrassing violation of privacy, but unless we can leave here, which wouldn't be smart, you'd have to get one done in the infirmary. Oh, sweet baby Jesus, I murmured under my breath. Alex squeezed my arm. Do you want to go now? I'll go with you. What other choice did I have? Resigning myself to what I had to do, I sighed. Yeah, I'd like that. She smiled tightly, and then we started walking again, this time back toward the main buildings. It would make sense. I glanced at her. You being sick, she explained. Maybe it's not just the bands on your wrists. Feeling like I just might pass out, I was silent for a couple of minutes. I don't know how I could be after what went down with Hyperion. Her sharp gaze found mine as we neared the square, one-story building that housed some of the training rooms and several nursing stations. I looked away, focusing on the bronze-colored double doors ahead. I fought him, I said, pushing past the messy knot forming in the back of my throat. I fought back, and I didn't win those fights. I get it. Alex reached down and took my hand, squeezing it. I get what you're saying. Wetness rushed my eyes, and I blinked it away. So I'm probably just overreacting. Alex let go of my hand and reached for the door. Maybe. There was a pause. But you're a demigod, and Seth's an Apollyon. Or was. I have no idea what that would make a kid, but it's probably a very strong one. I opened my mouth, but I had no words, because I hadn't even begun to think about what kind of a kid could be inside me. A kid that had a demigod and a god as a parent. Or it could just be weird cycles. That's possible. I mean, who hasn't thought they were pregnant before? She tried to sound reassuring, because I figured the panicked expression on my face was pretty obvious. I thought I was pregnant once, and it turned out I had two lesser gods living inside me. I stared at her. Not that I'm saying you have gods inside you, but, you know, it could be anything. Anyway, she opened the door. Let's find out. In a daze, I followed Alex inside. I was too anxious to do much speaking, as Alex found us a nurse and we were escorted into a small, minty-smelling room. There were no chairs in the room, only an examination table, and I didn't want to sit on it since that seemed all too official. The nurse, a pureblood dressed in pale blue scrubs, closed the door behind her. She was an older lady with what I thought were pretty amazing amethyst-colored eyes. Turning to us with a clipboard in hand, those odd eyes bounced nervously between Alex and me. I imagined she hadn't been in the room with two demigods before. Her smile was full of uncertainty. How can I help you two? I started to look at Alex, but then I realized that I seriously needed to grow up and ask for the test. I'm not a student here. I know who you are, who both of you are, the nurse spoke up. I'm sure everyone at the university is aware of who both of you are. Having no idea if that was a good thing or not, I exhaled roughly. I think I might be pregnant, so I was hoping I could take a test. The nurse's expression didn't change one iota. Have you had the symptoms of pregnancy? I nodded. I'm late, and I've been sick. I didn't feel like it was necessary to even bring the issue of the bands on my wrists into the equation. I've had unprotected sex once, I tacked on, like that made a difference. I really would like this to be private. I mean, the whole doctor-patient privilege thing still works, right? Alex snickered. Privacy at the Covenant? Not likely, but I have a feeling she's not going to want to piss off Apollo's daughter. The skin around the nurse's mouth tightened. When I took the oath, I did so for everyone I treat. I am not like other purebloods, Alex finished for her. Got it. So this conversation and its potential results won't leave this office? Damn, girl, I thought. Right. The nurse put the clipboard down. We can do a simple urine test and then go from there. How does that sound? Sounds good, I said, glancing at Alex. She nodded. The nurse reached into a cabinet and pulled out a small plastic cup with a lid. She scribbled Jane across the piece of tape. Ready? I was showed where the nearest bathroom was, and I did the whole pee-in-the-cup thing. That cup of potential doom was placed in a little window, and then I went back to the windowless room where Alex was waiting. Leaning against the wall, I smacked my hands over my face. It sort of hit me right then that this was really happening. There was a good chance I was pregnant, and I was going to figure out what the hell that meant other than being pregnant. I can't believe this is happening. Seth doesn't know, does he? Alex asked. No, I said from behind my hands. It wasn't something I really thought about until recently, and I didn't want to get him worried. I didn't know how Seth would react. I didn't know how I would react if that test came back positive. I don't know what he'd do or even think. It's not exactly something we've talked about. Alex wrapped her fingers around my arms and pulled my hands from my face. Honest? He's probably going to be as shocked as you, but Seth loves you, Josie. He really does, and that is something amazing. My heart did a little jump. I know. She gave a little shake of her head. I don't know if you really do. Dropping her hands, she drew in a deep breath. I never believed that Seth was capable of loving anyone more than he loved himself, but he does with you. And because of that, you shouldn't be afraid of telling him if that test comes back positive. I tipped my head back against the wall. Even if he's 100% okay with this, how can we do this? There is so much screwed up stuff going on right now, and I just don't know. You'll figure something out, trust me, she said. You will, because you'll have to. She was right, because we would have to figure it out. I lowered my chin. If this comes back positive, please don't tell anyone. I'm going to tell Seth, but I don't want this getting around. Of course not, she replied. Obviously, I'll keep my mouth shut since I just threatened a pureblood if she ran her mouth. I laughed nervously, but every single muscle in my body locked up as the door opened and the nurse walked in. I searched her expression for any hint, but it was impressively blank. Still, my heart was pounding like I'd run up several flights of steps. The nurse, whose name I realized I'd never asked for, propped her hip against the counter and loosely folded her arms. When we do urine tests, we usually repeat them more than once if we get a certain result to ensure accuracy, so we repeated the tests. Okay, I whispered as blood began to roar in my ears. It's positive, the nurse said. You're pregnant.
Chapter 29 Seth. Standing before the shades, I quickly counted them. There was definitely more than 20, more like 30. A few of them looked like they'd played chicken with a car and lost, their flesh torn and patchy in some areas. Shades didn't want to let go of their mortal bodies, even when the mortal had died. They rode the flesh until nothing was left. It smelled like the river Styx had thrown up in here, and then a few hellhounds had come in and taken a dump. In the back, against a low wall that led to a bare kitchen, were the tied-up mortals. They didn't look very alive. I clapped my hands together. Heads jerked up, eyes of all different shapes and colors widened. Hey, I said, smiling. My name is Seth. I have a few questions. Dark shadows leaked through the whites of their eyes like ink into water. A low hissing sound radiated from all corners of the room, like the air being let out of several balloons. They rose at once. I'm glad to see you guys are going to be so helpful. A blonde that appeared to have run face first into a blender charged me. Reaching down, I unhooked one of my daggers. I didn't have to do much, just lifted the blade and stepped to the side. She impaled herself. A second later, black smoke poured out of her gaping mouth, shooting into the air. It billowed across the ceiling, seeking a way out. Lifting my hand, I shoved a couch across the room. It tipped up on one side, blocking the door. Smiling, I turned as another shade barreled down on me. This one was a little fresher, but it too ended up on the floor. Glass shattered behind me. A second later, Aiden landed in a crouch. Torin hit the floor in a controlled roll. Unfortunately, that controlled roll went right through some splatter. Sucked for him. Aiden popped up and was immediately swarmed by the shades, rocking the mortal bodies. They went after him like demons jonesing for ether. As Torin rose, wiping off the blood and other stuff, I was sort of offended that the shades didn't want to play with me anymore. A shade went flying back as Aiden delivered a brutal punch that might have, God bless his pure soul, killed the mortal if it wasn't already dead. Ah, I think you've got it covered. Raising my hand, I pushed Torin back toward the wall, away from one of the free-roaming shades. And you, I said. You really shouldn't have followed Aiden. Dipping down, Aiden took out the legs of one of the shades. He lurched up and looked over his shoulder, dark brows slamming together. Seriously? I grinned, crossing my arms over my chest as I stayed back from the melee. Wouldn't want you to get out of practice. When Aiden cursed and whipped back around, I laughed. Hey, I'm just looking out for your best interests. Torin attempted to peel himself out of the corner I'd put him in, but I shook my head. You wouldn't last long with these bastards. Sorry, you're going to just have to watch. I paused. And remember that secret you promised to keep. He opened his mouth, but I pivoted and grabbed the closest shade. Spinning it around, I shoved the blade deep into its chest. The shade escaped, along with all the ones Aiden was taking down. They were crawling across the ceiling, aiming for the broken glass. Then, a thought occurred to me. I'd seen a Fury grab hold of one before. She actually ate the fucking thing. I was not trying that, but I was a god now, so I wondered if a hit of Akasha might take the bastards out. Tapping into the power, I lifted my arm. Whitish amber light powered down my bicep and erupted out of my palm. The bolt smacked into the mass of shades flowing through the broken window. Akasha washed over the mass, and an eerie howl filled the room. The group of shades warped and rippled as the shadows expanded and then ruptured, spraying the windows with inky blotches. Ah! I laughed. Well then. We need one alive. Aiden reminded me. Try to remember that. Stepping to the side, I grabbed the blonde closest to me. He threw his head back and opened his mouth. Nothing came out. He snapped his jaw shut and glanced down at the hand I had wrapped around his throat. The shade couldn't escape.
What do you know? Looks like you're stuck in the body now.
I laughed. Interesting. Must be another new god trait. I lifted my gaze.
Guess you're fucked.
The shade let out a roar of anger.
No! I guess this body is fucked!
Without any warning, it wrenched its head to the right. The crack of its neck was like thunder.
God!
My lip curled as its inky eyes slid back to mine. The head hung at an odd, unnatural angle.
That was unnecessary.
It laughed.
It was fun!
Yeah, you need a fucking hobby.
Thorin slammed another shade into the floor, shoving his blade into its chest as he lifted his dark gaze to Aiden.
There's no helping them, is there?
Nope!
Aiden kicked another back.
So what are you doing here?
Lifting the shade up, I turned and slammed him into the wall.
You're out there catching pures and bringing them to the Titans?
They're nearby, aren't they? Not in this city, I bet, but close. The shade coughed out a guttural laugh.
What do you think?
I think you're nothing but a little bitch boy for the Titans.
Black blood seeped out the corners of the shade's mouth.
They've got to eat too, you know, to get all big and strong.
Uh-huh.
I stepped in, placing my other hand against his chest. Heat poured out of my palm.
Where are they?
His lips peeled back, revealing tar-stained teeth.
You'll never find them!
Oh, I think I will.
I dug in with my palm.
I'm going to ask you one more time. Where are they?
The shade stiffened as I pulled in the element of fire, and I felt Aiden draw closer.
I know who you are,
it said, jerking as the front of its shirt began to smoke.
I know that we had something that belonged to you.
Everything in me stilled. The world became quiet.
What did you say?
The shade moaned low, its voice gurgling as more blood spilled out of its mouth.
I used to stand out on the porch and watch Hyperion drag that blonde bitch into the house. Her screams made me hard. I miss her!
Rage roared to life, mingling with all the heady, powerful ether inside me. The air around me crackled. Those inky eyes met mine and then flared wide. I didn't look away as the shirt burned away under my hand or as the skin bubbled. I didn't blink a damn eyelash as blood and tissue gave way and the shade slumped to the floor. Exhaling deeply, I briefly closed my eyes as I twisted my neck from the left to the right. I opened my eyes. But I still wanted to destroy something. I wanted to take this whole goddamn building down.
What did he say to you?
Aiden asked. Curling my hands into fists, I stepped back from the heap of burnt clothing and melted flesh.
He was there.
Aiden didn't have to ask what that meant. He knew. The Titans are here. They're in Texas.
Josie, you sure you're going to be okay? I stood in the doorway of the room Seth had been given the last time we were here, dazed by what felt like an out-of-body experience. I found myself nodding at Alex's question. We'd walked back to the dorm in silence. At least, I think we did. If Alex had spoken, I hadn't heard her. My mind was still back in that minty-smelling room. I was pregnant. Pregnant! The nurse had taken my blood to just confirm the stick test results. I quickly learned that pregnancy among the Pures, and I guess the Haves, since the breed order had been abolished, was like a mortal pregnancy. Apparently, the blood test would give me a better understanding of how far along I was, but I knew I couldn't be more than 3 weeks unless one of the condoms Seth had used before had broken. That was possible, I guessed. But the problem with that was, according to the nurse, it wasn't common to have noticeable symptoms so early on. Some women did. Then again, I wasn't mortal, and I wasn't a pureblood. The nurse admitted that pregnancy for a demigod could be something entirely different. There definitely weren't any expecting demigod mothers pamphlets in the room. The blood results would be back tomorrow, but I already knew deep down what they'd confirm. I was pregnant. A look of doubt had crept into Alex's expression. Do you want me to stay with you until Seth gets back? Thank you, but no. I trailed off as my stomach took a dive to the floor. What did I not need at this point? I was pregnant. I was actually impregnated by Seth. There was a fetus inside me that could be mortal, could be a demigod, or could be an actual god. Hell, the baby could be a minotaur for all I knew. So I needed a lot of things, but only one thing at the moment. I just need to be alone for a little while. I need to process this. I understand. Alex popped forward and gave me a quick, tight hug. It'll be okay, especially once you talk to Seth. She stepped back, but stopped. Her gaze met mine. Congratulations. I sucked in a soft breath. A knot plugged my throat as a flutter took root in my chest. From the moment the first thought of being pregnant popped into my head, and right up to Alex saying congratulations, I hadn't thought of being pregnant as a good thing, mainly because I couldn't even let myself truly think about it. Thank you, I whispered, and I meant it. Alex smiled and then gave me a little wave. Closing the door, I turned and walked past the sitting area, shuffling into the bedroom. The bed had been made, and the room was neat and orderly. Thankfully, there were no creepy portraits of my father or any other god in this room. I'm pregnant. Oh, gods, I whispered. Stopping at the foot of the bed, I tugged up my shirt and exposed my belly. It wasn't flat, but it had never been flat in my entire life. My stomach looked the same as it did before. But there was a baby in there. Dropping my shirt, I started to press my hand to my stomach, but stopped. I turned and plopped down on the bed. Running my hands over my face, I shook my head for the 100th time. How was this going to work? I had no idea what this meant for a demigod and a god. None whatsoever. Like, would I carry this baby for 9 months? Would it come out like Seth, with a baby's six-pack and the ability to control things with its mind? And we had Titans gunning for us, gunning for me. My heart turned over heavily as I lowered my hands to my lap. If Hyperion found out I was pregnant, God, he would. I couldn't even let myself think about what he would do, what the other Titans would do. None of us were safe, and bringing a baby into this was crazy. Because once I got these bands off my wrists, I would have to fight the Titans. Seth wanted to kill them all, but that could have horrific consequences. We needed to entomb them, and that meant I needed to fight alongside the other demigods. How could I do that while being pregnant? How could I not fight? But even if I was just a mortal and didn't have the whole Titan thing going down, I was nowhere near mentally or emotionally ready to pop out a child. I was so not mother material. I was only 20. Seth was only 22. We loved each other, but we hadn't been together long, and there was so much we were still trying to work out. I didn't even know if he wanted kids. I didn't even know if I wanted kids. Kind of late to be thinking of that now.
A strangled-sounding laugh escaped me as I lowered my gaze to my stomach. My breath caught, and I did it. I placed my hand on my stomach. It felt normal, but I was pregnant. And this baby? Gods, this baby wanted to be born, because I don't think if I was mortal or if this child was mortal, it would have survived everything that had happened. My fingers splayed across my lower belly. Somehow I knew that this kid was going to be strong. You're a little fighter, aren't you? I said to my stomach. And then I flushed beet red, because I was seriously talking to my stomach. My lips twitched as I lifted my gaze to the beige wall. I needed to start Googling this whole pregnancy-slash-baby thing. The space in front of me suddenly warped, and then, without any warning, Seth was standing there. Yelping, I jerked my hand away from my stomach as I nearly slid off the bed. Holy crap! Jumping up, I smacked him hard on the chest. A warning would be... He caught my hand, and all I saw was a flash of golden eyes a second before he hauled me against his chest. His other arm circled my waist, and then his mouth was on mine. Seth kissed me like he was taking his first breath of fresh air. It was deep and scorching. Sensation rushed over me, pouring into my system and pushing everything aside. Kissing Seth was like finally waking up from a deep, endless sleep, and when he lifted his mouth from mine, I made this sound I barely recognized and which caused Seth to chuckle. "Missed you," he said, pressing another kiss to the corner of my lips. Sliding my hand to his shoulder, I rested my forehead against his. "You haven't been gone that long." His nose brushed mine.
"Long enough."
I shivered in his arms, relieved that he was back and okay. It was strange knowing that there were only three beings in this world that could take Seth out and still worrying about his safety. "Aiden's okay?"
"Of course," Seth chuckled again. "Not like I'd leave him there."
Leaning back, I raised my brows. Seth's grin twisted my stomach into pleasant knots. It was just so damn devilish.
"Ye of little faith."
"Uh-huh." His hand slid up my spine, tangling in my loose hair.
"How are you feeling?"
"Good," I said, taking a breath. I needed to tell him about the whole pregnancy thing, but this was also important. "Find out anything?"
"Yes."
He kissed the center of my forehead and let go.
"I think you were definitely held in an area east of Houston."
Hope smacked through me as I sat down on the edge of the bed. "Did you find the warehouse?" Running a hand through his hair, he shook his head.
"No, but we did find shades, and they're definitely there because of the Titans."
I folded my hands in my lap. "How do you know?"
"Turns out I'm more awesome than I previously realized."
"Oh, really?"
"Yep."
Still grinning that ridiculously sexy and often infuriating grin, he said.
"We caught one. And it turns out that being a god means I can actually stop the shade from leaving its body. That meant we were able to get some info out of it."
I really didn't want to think about how they went about that. "What did you learn?" A coldness settled into those deep amber eyes.
"The Titans are in Texas. Or they have been."
Everything was bigger in Texas. A hyena-sounding giggle almost escaped.
"The Shade knew of you," he explained, and I tensed. "You said you were kept near a wooded area. Aiden and I learned there's a place called Piney Woods not too far from there. We're going to start scouting out areas in that location."
Like before, there was something just on the fringe of my subconscious that I couldn't quite pull forward. I feel like I'm forgetting something, something I saw. It's right there, but I just can't remember it.
"It'll come to you."
I nodded as I inhaled roughly. My pulse started to pick up as I peeked up at him. Seth was going to be a dad. Oh my gods, I was going to be a mom. But he was going to be a dad. A really hot dad, like the kind you saw with a baby that made your ovaries go boom. Except my ovaries apparently already went boom. Holy crap, what was I thinking? I did not need to be thinking about him as a hot dad because he didn't even know he was going to become a dad. I needed to tell him.
Anxiety rose in my chest, causing me to clasp and unclasp my hands. This is all good, though. At least we have a general idea.
Right, he replied, his eyes warming to a tawny glow as he watched me. How did things go with the kidnapped demigod?
Good. We got her to open the door, and Deacon was going to get her some food, I said, looking away when his gaze caught mine. She understands that we're here to help her, so that's a few steps in the right direction.
Cool.
Seth reached down to his hips, and I saw that he had daggers.
We can head back to the island if you want.
We so needed to stay, at least until tomorrow. Well, wait. I had no idea how safe the whole poofing thing Seth did was. I guess it was okay because he'd done that quite a few times. Can we hang here for a little bit? It's safe, right? Seth nodded. When did you get the daggers? I asked.
Made a pit stop in the weapons room before he went to Texas. I guess I really don't need them, but they're fun to use.
Oh, that's smart. Not the fun part, because that's a little creepy, but the grabbing them part. My heart was racing so fast, I thought I'd be sick. When are you going to head back out? He unhooked the daggers.
Soon. Was thinking about checking out Piney Woods tomorrow.
That was good, because we needed to find Mitchell. I just hoped we weren't too late. But if Seth was going back out there tomorrow, should I tell him about the whole baby thing? He could come face to face with one of the Titans. Being distracted was the last thing he needed. It could be deadly. I sucked in a sharp breath. If Seth came face to face with a fully energized Cronus, what would happen?
Hey, Seth said, drawing my gaze to his. What's going on?
Wiping my damp palms against my knees, I forced a casual shrug. Nothing. Just got a lot on my mind. Seth placed the daggers on the dresser. His hands dropped to the belt that had held them.
You sure you're feeling okay? You're looking a little flushed.
And I was feeling like I was going to laugh and cry and throw myself face first onto the bed. I opened my mouth, but nothing came out. Unhooking the weapon belt, he draped it over the dresser and then crossed the small distance between us.
Look, you need to be honest with me if you're feeling unwell. I need to know. I want to know.
Mouth dry, I shook my head and tried once more to say something, anything, but nothing came out but inaudible sounds. What was I doing? How could I not tell him? Even though I had no idea how he would react, how he would feel about this, I couldn't keep it from him. It was too big, too important. This involved both of us. This involved our future. If we had one. A frown pulled at his lips as he stood in front of me. Seth knelt, placing his hands over mine, effectively stopping me from rubbing the skin right off.
Josie, he said, his concerned gaze searching mine. What is going on?
I have to tell you something important. His brows knitted together.
Okay.
I really don't know how to tell you without just saying it. My breath caught, and it felt like my heart was going to jump out of my chest. I'm pregnant.
Chapter 30 Seth. I choked out a laugh. Wait, what? Josie's ocean-colored eyes were wide, and her cheeks a faint pink.
I'm kind of pregnant. I mean, I'm not kind of pregnant. I don't think you can be kind of pregnant.
The half-smile faded.
Alex went with me because I honestly had no idea where to find a pregnancy test, and yeah, that was a little awkward. Anyway, turns out they don't just sell them here. You have to go get one done. So I did the whole P-test thing, and when they get a positive response, they repeat the test. Both tests came back positive, so I'm pregnant. Pregnant with your baby.
She winced.
You probably figured that last part out already, the baby being yours part.
My lips parted on a sharp inhale.
That's why I've been nauseous and puking.
She continued in a rush.
I guess the bands are making me heal slower than I should be, but I don't think they are causing the tiredness and everything else, and I didn't think it was that You know, me being pregnant until I realized a few days ago I hadn't had my period.
Josie is... I stopped breathing as her words settled through the shocked fog that had invaded my brain. 100 different thoughts erupted in rapid succession.
I thought it was just stress, but then, well, I went down to one of the infirmaries, like I said, and got the test.
She folded her hands together, pressing them against her breasts.
And yeah, it's positive.
I'm fucking sure my heart stopped for several beats as I stared at her from where I was crouched. My head tilted to the side as I slowly understood what she was telling me. Josie was pregnant with my child? A surge of unbridled emotion whirled through me, a wild mixture of acidic fear and brilliant joy. The kind of fear and joy I'd never in my life experienced. The emotions were so raw and so powerful, I could barely make sense of them, could barely think around them. Josie's lower lip trembled.
Please say something, because I've been freaking out pretty much all day, and now you're just staring at me, not talking.
I hadn't said anything. I needed to. I needed to say a lot, but as I started to rise, I realized my knees were strangely weak, like they were devoid of all muscle and bone. Somehow I lost my balance. I actually stumbled back and I went down, landing on my ass. The daggers rattled on the dresser behind me.
Oh my God!
Josie jumped and reached for me.
Seth!
Stunned that I actually fell over, I looked around the room as if there was some pint-sized apparition that had just taken my legs out. Of course, there wasn't shit. My knees had given out.
Seth!
Lifting my gaze to her, I finally got my tongue to work. You're pregnant? Josie pulled back, clasping her hands together. She nodded.
Yes.
Her chest rose with a deep breath.
Those beautiful eyes,
eyes that were like two polished sapphires, glistened with unshed tears.
I'm sorry,
she whispered. I jerked. I mean, my entire body jerked. She was sorry. Sorry about being pregnant with my child? My brows flew up, and for a small instant that icy terror poured into my chest. How could I be a good father after everything that I had done, everything I would do to keep Josie safe? My hands were dirty, but they'd soon be soaked in blood. Was that why she was sorry? Because she knew I was probably the last person in the world who was fit to have and raise a child? But I'd give up my life for my child. Josie sat back down, her throat working as she squeezed her eyes shut.
I know this is a surprise. It shocked me. It had to be that one time, right when you left. We didn't use a condom. I know we're not ready for this, but I was hoping we...
Trailing off, she shook her head as she pressed the tips of her fingers to her mouth. Then it struck me. She thought I was unhappy with the news, and she had good reason to believe that because I was sitting on the goddamn floor like a dumbass. Snapping out of my stupor, I flew to my feet and grasped her hands. I startled her, and those damp lashes lifted. I am not sorry, I told her. I could never feel sorry that you're having my child. Her eyes widened, and she whispered,
What?
I brought her hands to my chest as I hauled her up to her feet. I was shocked. I was not expecting you to say that at all, but I am not sorry. Josie's chest rose against our joined hands.
You're not? You're okay with me? With this?
How could I not be okay? I shook my head as my heart pounded a mile a minute. Gods, Josie. I was shocked enough that I just fell over on my ass, but I love you. I will always love you. That means I will love our child. I couldn't believe I just said those two words. Our child. But the moment they left my tongue, I never knew anything else could feel so right. I knew in that moment it was true. A tremble rocked her body.
But how can we do this? We're not ready.
We'll get ready, I told her, meaning it. Gods knew she was right. We were the furthest thing from ready, but we would get there. I don't have a doubt in my mind that you'd make. My voice thickened and became hoarse with emotion.
You will make. A wonderful mother.
Oh, my God.
Josie cried, planting her face into my shoulder.
I can't believe you just said that.
Why? Why was she crying? Letting go of her hands, I curled one arm around her waist, and then gently guided her head back up with the other. Psyche Mu, are you crying?
I don't know,
she said, sniffling.
I was so afraid you would be unhappy, and I'm scared because I don't know if I would be a good mom. I mean, I can't even remember to brush my teeth every night, and I'm going to be responsible for another person? We are so young, like too young. I mean, we can live for, like, eternity, and I don't even know what this baby is going to be, and there's so much crazy going on right now.
Chuckling hoarsely, I smoothed away her tears. I could never be unhappy, and you have no reason to be scared, Josie. We're in this together. I know there's a lot of crazy, but you're not in this alone. Josie blinked rapidly as she stared up at me.
You're really okay with this?
We're having a baby, Josie. How could I not be okay with that? She let out a throaty sound and threw her arms around me.
I love you. I love you,
she said, repeating the three words over and over. It hit me again, almost taking my legs right out from under me once more. This meant everything would change, and we needed to seriously talk about what that meant. But right now, all I could focus on was this. Fuck! This beautiful moment I hadn't thought I'd ever experience. I'm going to be a father, I said, sort of dumbstruck by the mere realization. I could feel my lips curving into a smile I couldn't stop even if I wanted to. It's not something I've ever thought about. I brought my hand to her cheek. I just never thought it would be in my future. Probably because it wasn't until recently that I even had a future. But I never. I laughed in shock, only because it was rare when I was actually speechless. I'm going to be a dad. Josie smiled as she nodded.
You will be an amazing father. No child would ever be more loved, more safe.
Her beautiful face blurred as stark emotion punched a hole right through my chest. Who knew hearing those words would have such an intense impact? But they did, and my own eyes felt oddly damp. My knees felt weak again, and my body reacted strongly and without thought. Lifting her up, in one powerful lunge, I had Josie on her back and all that glorious hair was spread out along the bedspread. I hovered over her, my fist punched into the bed beside her head, and my other hand gripping her hip. My heart was a battering ram against my ribs as I stared down at her. I love you, I said, my voice shaking, my fucking hand trembling as I slid it over, resting just below her navel. And I love this child already. Shocked at the truthfulness in that statement, my breath got lodged in my throat. My gaze lifted to her in a dazed wonder. Neither of you will ever want for anything. I promise you that. And that was a promise I would kill to keep, and die
to ensure.
Josie. A sharp pang of raw emotion sliced through me. There was so much fear and confusion warring inside me, but what had started as a tiny speck of happiness had erupted into the purest, brightest joy. We were in this together. And Seth was okay with this. He was more than okay. I knew this because I saw what he was feeling in those tawny eyes. Seth was as overwhelmed as I was, but he wasn't freaking out. He was diving headfirst into this really unexpected development, and he was welcoming it. Seth was happy about the fact I was going to have his child. I didn't know what I expected from him, but not this, not the tears I knew I saw crowding his eyes. I looked down and saw his hand on my stomach, the touch so reverent and gentle, I was seconds from breaking into sobs. But the unbridled emotion whirling through me like a cyclone chased away the doubt and the fear that I guessed was common even for people who weren't newly unbound demigods impregnated by newly appointed gods. Reaching up, I touched his smooth jaw, then dragged my fingers over to his lips. He pressed a kiss to them.
We're going to be okay. We're going to be more than okay.
Oh, God, my heart imploded into goo. There was so much we needed to discuss and figure out, but I didn't want words right now. I wanted Seth, only him, with nothing between us. Lifting myself up on my elbows, I brushed my lips against his, and he seemed to know exactly what I wanted, what I needed. Seth settled between my legs as he pressed me back down into the bed. We kissed like it was the last time we'd ever get the chance. We kissed like we were starving for one another. And we were. Our hands were everywhere. His hand slid up the curve of my waist. My hand slipped under his shirt. And we kept kissing, breaking apart only so I could tug his black shirt off and he could pull mine off. The shirts fell somewhere on the floor. His boots came off next, then my sneakers. I ran my fingers down his defined pecs and over the tightly coiled ridges of his abs. His golden skin felt like silk stretched over steel. My fingers fell to the button on his pants, and he didn't stop me this time. Oh no, he lifted his hips as I popped the button free and dragged the zipper down. He inched one strap of my bra down my arm, and then the other. He hooked a finger between the cups of my bra, and with a quick flick of his wrist, my breasts were exposed. And we were still kissing, our tongues tangling as he shifted sideways, shoving his pants and the tight boxer briefs down. His nimble fingers made quick work of my jeans. Seth rose above and then scooted down. He caught my jeans and then my panties, quickly dragging them off. Within seconds, I was completely bare, and it felt like an eternity since there had been nothing between us. His hands coasted up inside my legs and then over my hips. My heart thundered and my pulse pounded as a delicious ache filled me. He was still for a moment above me, his head bowed, and locks of blonde hair fell forward, shielding half his face. I reached for him, clutching his forearm as he lowered his head. Seth kissed my stomach, just below my navel. My breath caught at the sweet gesture. Seth! He peered up at me with luminous eyes.
This, he said, voice thick as he smoothed the hand over my stomach. This is a gift. It is nothing less than a miraculous gift.
Tears blurred my eyes, and oh gods, I was going to start crying again. All I could do was reach for him, and he came to me. The bare skin of his leg dragged over mine. I whimpered as I felt him hot and hard against my thigh, searing my skin. His heated gaze roamed my face, and then lower over the taut tips of my breasts. His stare was like a physical caress, eliciting a sharp swirl of shivers. Then his gaze moved even lower, and his lips parted, his lips moving as if he were searching for words and was coming up empty. When those thick lashes lifted and his gaze pierced mine, I saw that awe again. I love you, I said, curling my hand around the back of his neck. I love you so much. Seth made this partially animalistic sound that caused my blood to turn to molten lava. Heat spread into the very core of my being. I pulled his mouth down to mine, and I kissed him like I was drowning, and I was. We couldn't wait. There was no need for long, lazy caresses or drugging, hazy kisses. I was ready. He was ready. I needed him. He wanted me. I shifted my hips as he reached between us with one hand, guiding his rigid length to me. He whispered those beautiful words against my lips as he pushed in, his size, his hardness stretching and burning in the most exquisite way. Back arching, I kicked my head back as keening sounding escaped me. Seth caught my chin, forcing my gaze back to his. He held my stare, and I couldn't look away. His mouth hovered over mine as he slowly, maddeningly pushed in, inch by nerve-wracking inch. Seth, I gasped out, lifting my leg and hooking it around his hip. He went deeper and deeper until there was no space between our hips, until we were one. He groaned my name in the air between our lips.
I can't. I need you. Need this now.
Don't wait, I whispered. Don't. Seth rumbled out a curse, and then his hips started moving. Each thrust, each retreat sent bolts of electricity through every cell. My body quivered as my anticipation swelled. I wrapped my arms around him, digging my heels into his legs. Every place he was hard, I was soft. Panting in shallow, uneven breaths, I held onto him as his thrusts quickened, losing all rhythm. He dug his arm into the bed and lifted me up. He moved as hard and fast as I'd ever felt. His lean body covered mine as his hips pounded in and out. His breathing became ragged, and everything became frantic. Our hands were clenching and clutching. Sweat beaded on my skin. I was rising up and being pressed back into the mattress, taking each thrust and reaching for more, always more. My name dripped from his lips. Soft cries parted mine. Tendrils of pleasure coiled tightly. My nails grazed his skin as I rocked against him. A curling, burning heat seared my skin. I couldn't take it. My body exploded. Pleasure thundered through me as inaudible sounds filled the room, sounds I don't think I'd ever made before. Each lunge of his hips went deep and deep, over and over, and then he planted himself deep in me, his mouth claiming mine as I felt him jerk and spasm. A storm passed before he stilled, and I held on to him, held on to all that this meant, as sweet aftershocks rattled me to the very core. Dragging his mouth from mine, he lifted his head. His eyes locked with mine. He said nothing. There wasn't a need for words. The corners of my lips tipped up. His did the same, and we just looked at each other. We just watched each other. Then Seth eased onto his side, slipping out of me. My hands slid down his arms as he rested his forehead against my breasts. Our legs were tangled, our breathing and hearts slowing. Neither of us moved for several long moments.
You okay?
He pushed the tangled, damp strands off my forehead. Yeah. I turned my body into his. That was...
Everything, he murmured against my cheek.
Yes. That was everything.
Gods, Josie.
He wrapped his arms around me, fitting me to the side of his body.
You've made my life.
I smiled broadly. That sounds impressive.
It is.
Nestling against his chest, I pressed my cheek to where his heart raced. Seth reached down, tucking my leg between his. He shuddered, and I felt his lips brush across my forehead. Tears filled my eyes because I was finally where I was meant to be. But it was more than that, so much more. Seth gently shifted me onto my back, easing half his body onto mine as if he sought to shield me. His hand moved from my lips, trailing down the center of my body. It came to a stop over my stomach. His fingers splayed, and my heart jumped as I lifted my gaze to his. The line of his jaw was soft, his touch even more so.
You know what?
What? One side of his lips quirked up.
You're going to be my very own MILF.
I blinked. For a moment, I didn't think I heard him correctly.
And I'm going to be your DILF.
My mouth dropped open. I can't believe you just said that. Seth grinned as he gave me a lopsided shrug.
It's true.
I stared at him, and then I turned, laughing as I threw my arm around his waist. You're so...
amazing, perfect, sexy, a beast.
Giggling, I shook my head. You're insane.
Insanely in love with you.
Gathering me against his front, he folded his arms around me.
Josie.
Having no idea what he was about to say, I murmured. What? Seth coasted his hand down my spine and then back up to the nape of my neck, where his fingers curled in a possessive, protective hold. A heartbeat passed, and then he said,
Thank you.
Chapter 31. Seth traced invisible patterns on my skin, a circle over my upper arm, and what felt like a cross along my shoulder, and other times it felt like he was playing tic-tac-toe with himself along my back. We were lying on our sides, facing one another. Seth had pulled the blanket up to our waists. Well, he hadn't used a hand to do so. The blanket sort of just moved on its own. I really missed being able to do all those cool things, but I was trying not to think about the bands.
So Alex knows, he asked.
Yeah, it was weird with her being there, but it was nice of her to be there for me. I was busy circling my finger around his nipple. I was really freaking out. Being pregnant isn't something I planned on.
Really? He teased.
Grinning, I lifted my gaze. His eyes were closed, and those impossibly long lashes fanned his cheeks. I never even thought about wanting kids. It just wasn't something I thought about.
I never thought about it either, he admitted,
his finger trailing up my arm.
Never seemed like an option.
Up until he reached his godhood, or whatever you wanted to call it, Seth hadn't had a future, so that made sense. I bit down on my lip as I studied the striking lines of his face. Sometimes, as shallow as it sounded to admit, I got a little lost just looking at him. I could remember what I thought the first time I'd met him. His beauty had been so cold, almost unreal and untouchable. Not anymore. There was a warmth there, a softness that couldn't be denied. I flattened my hand over his chest, feeling his heart beat strongly. I'm scared. His lashes lifted, and his hand stilled on my arm. His gaze searched mine.
Josie, psyche mu.
I loved it when he said that. My soul. That broke me in the very best ways every time. I know it's common, right? I mean, I guess most expecting moms are. I just don't know if I'm doing things right. I glanced down at my belly, wishing I could talk to my mom or my grandmother. That I'll mess up. It's just scary.
I'll be here.
Seth cupped my cheek, drawing my gaze to his.
You're not going to be alone in this.
I know. A few moments of silence stretched out between us. I'm surprised that I'm still pregnant after everything that happened. This baby?
This baby is a fighter. Can we be surprised?
A half smile formed.
You're a fighter.
So are you. How could he not realize that?
Both of us are,
he corrected, smoothing his thumb over my lower lip.
But I was born into a life where fighting was first nature. You were thrust into this. In a way, you're stronger than most sentinels.
I wasn't sure about that. I was scared witless by the fact I was pregnant. I had no idea what giving birth was going to be like, and I seriously doubted it would be a fun thing to go through. Raising a child, being responsible for a little being, was terrifying because I knew there was a good chance I'd drop it once or three times, and that's not even acknowledging everything else going on. But I liked that he said that, because his vote of confidence did help. This kid is going to be... Man, what is this kid going to be? I asked, curious. A demigod? A god? He kissed the tip of my nose.
I don't know, but we'll figure it out, and either way, it will be all good.
Drawing back, I stared at him. How can you be so calm?
Calm?
His brows lifted.
I'm just better at hiding my panic.
You're panicking? He slid his hand around the back of my neck.
I'm I'm scared, too. Having a kid is seriously some uncharted territory. Everything has changed, Josie.
My breath caught. I had a feeling I knew what he meant.
Today is nothing like yesterday, he said,
his gaze searching mine intently.
And later tonight, when we go to sleep, it will be nothing like last night. Everything that we do, every decision that we make going forward, will change because of this.
I drew in a shallow breath, but it got stuck.
Nothing is just about us anymore. I don't mean that there still can't just be us, he said,
threading his fingers through my hair.
But the big decisions, we can't just think about us.
He was right, and I knew that. When have we ever even gotten a chance to think about just us? Seth opened his mouth, but then what could he say? I was right. We hadn't had the chance to be selfish in our relationship. We probably wouldn't for a long, long time. And the world is not going to stop just because I'm pregnant. The Titans aren't going to just call a timeout, and the gods? How long are they going to stay out of this and out of our lives once the Titans are taken care of? I asked, squirming as my unease rose. Nothing outside this room has ceased to exist, and it won't. We still have to find Mitchell. We still have to take care of the Titans and anything else that comes our way. That hasn't changed. Seth's eyes darkened to a chilled topaz.
But we will have to make some changes.
I raised a brow. We?
Yeah.
A grin softened the hard look.
Both of us. Probably in ways I don't even know yet.
Pregnant or not, I still have to help. I have to entomb the Titans, I said quietly. I know you don't want to hear that, but you can't just go and kill them all. His lips pursed, and I could just tell he wanted to ask why not, but he didn't. Seth didn't say anything as he tipped my head back and kissed me. And those kisses turned deep, becoming something infinitely more, leaving me breathless and wanting. I ended up on my back, and Seth's wonderful, talented hands were between my legs, and his tongue and his teeth replaced those devious fingers of his. Within moments, I was lost to the touch and the taste that was all him. Our bodies were fused together, and we were twisting and tangling. I was in his lap, and then I was on his knees, and his arm was pinned under my breasts. There was no rush this time, no scrabbling of hands and frantic thrusts, but this release, when it came, was no less powerful than the one before. But afterward, as we lay in each other's arms, our bodies heated and damp, our breath mingling and hearts pounding, the questions lingered. How could I walk away from my duty? How could I put our unborn child in danger? I didn't know. I didn't know if there was a right or wrong answer. But I knew I would have to choose. And I also knew I may not even have a choice. I dozed as Seth continued to make little designs with his fingers, this time across my stomach, because I now lay on my other side, my bottom tucked into his hip.